Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Rahugana Converses with Judd Bharat, Text 15. Sa ma smritir mriga dehe api vira. Krishnarchana prabhava no jahati ato aham jana sangha asango vishankamano avivritash charam. Sa mam smritir mrigo dehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhava no jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vivritas charami. Sa mam smritir mriga dehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhava no jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vivritas charami. Sa mam smritir mriga dehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhava no jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vivritas charami. Vaishnavis,
Sama smriti mriga dehe api vira.
That mam me smritihi remembrance of the activities of my previous life mrigadehe in the body of a deer api although vira O great hero Krishna Archana Prabhava which appeared because of the influence of sincere service to Krishna. No jahati did not leave. Ato, therefore, aham, I, janasangat, from the association of ordinary men, asangaha, completely detached. Vishankamanaha, being afraid. Avritaha, unobserved by others. Charami, I go here and there. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I can remember everything of my past life, even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. Being afraid of the bad materialistic association, I wander alone, unnoticed by others. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Svapam apyasya dharmasya, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 40. It is certainly a great fall to go from human life to animal life. But in the case of Bharata Maharaj, or any devotee, devotional service to the Lord never goes in vain. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 6, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajyat ante kalevaram. At the time of death, by nature's law, the mind is absorbed in a certain type of thinking. This may lead one to animal life. Yet, for a devotee, there is no loss. Even though Bharata Maharaj received the body of a deer, he didn't forget his position. Consequently, in the body of a deer, he was very careful to remember the cause of his fall down. As a result, he was given a chance to be born in a family of very pure brahmanas. Thus, his service to the Lord never went in vain. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I can remember everything of my past life, even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men, being afraid of their bad materialistic association. I wander alone, unnoticed by others. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dehino smīnyatā dehe, kāmaram yovadam jarā, tatā dehantara prapti, dhīras tatra namuyati. So this means within the body there is the actual embodied self, the soul. Now, this is the fundamental understanding of spiritual life, which is not, unfortunately, very well understood today. Today, under the influence of the modern materialistic scientists and their theories of evolution and things like that, many people today do not have a very clear conception of what the self actually is. They think, yes, what we call mind and consciousness and all of that, that is just some temporary byproduct of bioelectrical activity in the brain. You know, they believe, yes, the chemicals are interacting in the brain in a very complex way. That produces what we call consciousness, and that's it. When the chemicals are disorganized, no more consciousness or anything like that. So, on this basis, people are not getting very good education about the actual purpose of human life. You know, once Srila Prabhupada was lecturing at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he pointed this out. Yes, where is that educational institution where people are being taught the conscious self is different from the material body? And this is the fundamental understanding of the whole Vedic culture, that within the body there is a soul, there is a conscious self that is distinct from the body. Even many religions, they don't have a very clear concept that the self, the conscious self, the Atma, the soul, is different than the body. They have so many different theories. For example, most of the Christian churches, they do not believe in the preexistence of the self before the body. They think the self, the soul, comes into existence with the body. It can only exist in connection with the body. That's why they're very concerned to save their bodies. You know, they don't like cremation or anything like that, because they believe, yes, you have to have the... They believe that the self is inextricably connected with the body. It can't exist apart from it. But in the Vaishnava philosophy, in the Bhagavad Gita, we get a very clear conception of what the self actually is. It is something non-material. It is something that is never born. It never dies. It's not as in many religions, they think it's born when the body is born. You know, they have some idea like that. They don't really understand that the soul is unborn. Namriyate jayate va kadachin, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. For the soul there is neither birth nor death. So the soul is unchanging, but the body is constantly changing. kamram yovanam jara. Yeah, we can observe ourselves. You know, the body is changing. The self is not changing, but the body is changing. And it is natural, Srila Prabhupada said in one purport that I was reading recently, that, well, what happens after old age, after death? There's another body. Dehantara prapti. After the death of this body, another body is obtained, another material body. This is called transmigration of the soul, reincarnation. And an intelligent person isn't confused about this. It's perfectly obvious. Dearest Tetranamuyate, an intelligent, sober, learned person is not bewildered, by this. Actually, the material body exists in two forms. There's the subtle material body made of false ego, mind, and intelligence, and the subtle senses. Then there's the gross physical body made of the gross physical elements. And when the gross physical body dies or disappears, ceases to exist, the subtle body remains. The subtle body made of mind, intelligence, false ego, and the subtle senses. And according to the condition of the subtle body, one gets another gross physical body. Here, we're learning that because Bharata, King Bharata, in his previous life, had become attracted to a deer, his subtle material body was conditioned in that way, and therefore, in his next life, he received the body of a deer. Now, normally, when this happens to, say, a non-devotee, there is a kind of evolution. Now, people like to talk about the theory of evolution, but Srila Prabhupada pointed out many times that there was a kind of evolution explained in the Padma Purana and other Vedic literatures and the Srimad Bhagavatam that has to do with the soul going through various kinds of material bodies until finally it gets to the human form. But this is not Darwin's theory of evolution. And Darwin's theory of evolution, they believe it's the bodies that are changing. One body is changing into another body. But that's a misunderstanding, Srila Prabhupada said, based on this fundamental lack of knowledge, this fundamental lack of understanding, the difference between the conscious self and the body. They come up with these different theories. But the real theory of evolution is explained in the Puranas. It means this human form of life is very, very valuable, because in the human form of life, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Atato brahma jigyasa. In the Vedanta Sutra, it's stated, Ata, now. Now that we have attained the human form, brahma jigyasa, we should inquire about the nature of the self, the nature of God, the nature of the relationship between the self and God, and what the ultimate goal of that relationship is. That's the real purpose of human life. If we do not use human life for that purpose, then there are so many other bodies. You know, if we have other kinds of desires, there are other bodies that are better suited for fulfilling those desires. And Krishna understands the full range of material desires. So he provides 8,400,000 types of vehicles for conditioned souls. And just like an automobile manufacturer may understand, yes, there are so many customers, they have different incomes, they have different purposes in mind, they have different taste. So according to the manufacturer's understanding of the different desires, the different needs, the different incomes of all the customers, a whole range of vehicles will be provided. You know, different, for different taste, for different purposes, for different incomes. So in a similar way, Krishna anticipates all the different kinds of material desires that a conditioned soul could have, and he provides a suitable range of vehicles for those conditioned souls to occupy. The best vehicle is the human vehicle, but we see that to operate in this world, to operate different kinds of vehicles, you need a license. To operate an automobile, you need a driver's license. To fly an airplane, you need a pilot's license. To be the captain of a ship, you need a ship's captain's license. But we see, we observe, it's also possible to lose the license. You know, if you operate your automobile in such a way that you cause danger to yourself and others, you violate the traffic laws, you will lose your license, and then you won't be able to operate that vehicle anymore. If a pilot misuses an airplane in such a way to endanger the lives of the passengers, as we saw recently, there were some pilots in a Northwest Airlines flight, they stopped paying attention to the radio signals coming from the traffic controllers. You know, they occupied themselves in some personal conversations, and they overflew their airport. They went hundreds of miles beyond the airport where they were supposed to land. So they took away their pilot's licenses because they were not operating the vehicles properly. You know, same with the captain of the ship. The captain of the ship operates, you know, the vehicle, the ship, in an improper way, then the pilot's license gets taken away. So, in a similar way, if we misuse our human vehicle in such a way to cause trouble to ourselves or others or violate the laws of nature that are appropriate to the operation of this human vehicle, then we can lose the license to operate this human vehicle, and then we won't have a human vehicle anymore. Now, just like sometimes we can see a license can be suspended or it can be revoked or, you know, for certain periods of time. So in the case of Maharaj Bharata, because he was a devotee, basically, his license was temporarily revoked for one life. And therefore, after one lifetime in the body of a deer, he was able to get back into the human form of life. And he had learned a lesson. Now, for an ordinary conditioned soul who's not practicing devotional service, when you lose the human form of life, it may be a long time. It could be millions of births before one again is able to have the advantage of that human form of life. Prahlad Maharaj says, Durlabha Manusham Janma. You know, this human form of life is not very easy to get. tadapya dhruvam artadam. It's temporary, like any material body. The human body is temporary, adhruvam, but it's artadam. Artadam means it can give some benefit. And the greatest benefit is that in this human form of life, we can go back home, back to Godhead. We can achieve the actual purpose of human life. It's a very special vehicle. But we have to use it properly. If we don't use it properly, then we can be denied use of the vehicle. And we may have to spend a lifetime. You know, if we're devotees, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, well, it doesn't go in vain. You're not going to be treated exactly like an ordinary conditioned soul. But still, it can be as here in the case of Bharata Maharaj, you know, that he had to spend one life, not millions of lives, and, you know, going through the Vedic system of evolution of the soul through different bodies. And he just had to spend one lifetime. Srila Prabhupada also gives an example of being able to skip over different lifetimes, because there's some allowance in the Vedic literature for killing of animals. You know, there's some sacrifice that somebody in the mode of ignorance can perform. They can take some animal like a goat, and there are certain mantras that they have to chant to the goat, saying that, yes, in this life I'm killing you, and in your next life you can kill me. So Srila Prabhupada explained in one conversation I was reading recently, that the soul of that goat that is killed in that way gets to skip over the normal evolutionary process of going through so many different bodies, and gets immediately to come to the human form. And that human who did this, he gets degraded. He loses a license for the human form and has to be killed. So these are the, you know, the different intricacies of the laws of karma and reincarnation, which is why Srila Prabhupada advised we try to finish our business in this life. So there are many intricate sorts of understandings that can come from knowledge of reincarnation. I recently read, you know, in one of Srila Prabhupada's conversations where he explained overpopulation in terms of reincarnation. And I lecture in universities all over the world, and many times they get the question, well, if there's reincarnation, why is the human population increasing? Somehow they have some idea that the fact that the human population is increasing is some kind of argument against reincarnation. But really, it's supported by the idea of reincarnation. And Srila Prabhupada explained it in this way. In the human form of life, you're supposed to graduate. You're supposed to get out of this material world, go back home, back to Godhead. If souls are not graduating out of this human form of life, but they've made a little bit of progress, that means they're going to have to keep coming back into the human form of life. And we'll see the human population on Earth increase. And just like in a school, you know, the normal system, say in a college, is, you know, you've got 4 years of college. You've got your freshmen, your sophomores, your juniors, your seniors. The seniors are supposed to graduate. You know, maybe, say you have 1,000 in each class. 1,000 seniors graduate, 1,000 freshmen come in. If it goes like that, then the population of the school will always remain the same. But if some of the seniors aren't graduating, if they're held back for another year, and the same number of freshmen keep coming into the school, you're going to see the senior class increasing in number. You know, so that's, you know, the explanation that Srila Prabhupada gave for the increasing human population on Earth, based on an understanding of this concept of reincarnation. But actually, the way that you judge the school is how many of the students are actually graduating. So people, you know, they want to judge civilizations. And sometimes, you know, they try to judge a civilization on the basis of the income of the people, what kinds of buildings you have. The real way to judge a civilization or a country or any other social group is how many of the souls that are part of that civilization or culture are graduating, are going back home, back to Godhead. That's the real way of judging how successful a civilization is. And on that basis, we would have to say the current materialistic civilization, with all its so-called advancement in economic development, technology, education, is not very successful, because we can see the governments are encouraging gambling, the governments are encouraging meat eating, the governments are encouraging intoxication, the governments are encouraging illicit sex life, which are the activities that will cause one to remain in this material world lifetime after lifetime, and perhaps lose the human form of life. So I'll stop there. Anybody have any questions or comments? Swavas.
Yeah, thank you for a nice class. I remember hearing a lecture one time where Srila Prabhupada was speaking about a non-secular society. And he described that as in the leadership of like, let's say a country, and you know, if the person is Krishna conscious, the leadership is God conscious for that matter, that their real business would be not to necessarily have everybody become a Hare Krishna devotee, but whatever religion that they follow, that they be strict in observing the vows and the rules and regulations of their particular faith. And the government's position would be to make sure, to make sure that each person is actually following strictly their particular path.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said something like that in a conversation with the Indian ambassador to Sweden. He had a long conversation with him. He was asking that the Indian government help the Krishna consciousness movement in India. And this Indian ambassador said, well, we'd like to, but we're a secular state. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, well, okay, secular state means you don't favor any particular religion, but, as you say, you monitor them. You know, just like in a secular state, there can be businesses, but still the businesses have to be monitored, you know, to see that they're actually behaving according to the law, according to the standards that apply to their particular line of business. You know, just like, I mean, recently I saw something on television. They determined, well, like baby carriages, a lot of babies are getting their fingers cut off in these baby carriages, you know, because they're not being built, you know, according to any proper standard. So, yeah, you can make your baby carriage, but it should be done in such a way, you know, that it's not going to cut the fingers off the little babies. So, in a secular state, Srila Prabhupada said in this very important conversation with this Swedish ambassador, Indian ambassador to Sweden, you know, he said, yes, in secular, you can have secular state, which means the state does not favor any one particular religion, but whatever religion's being practiced, it has to be done according to the standards. You know, if you say you're a Christian, you have to behave like a Christian. If you say you're a Muslim, you have to behave like a Muslim. If you say you're a Hindu, you're a Vaishnava, you have to behave according to those standards. And what's really interesting about the Vedic culture is that there's not one standard. Like Srila Prabhupada often gave the example, there's different Puranas and different modes of nature. So those things are there. So it's a very interesting concept.
Prabhupada told me that a God-conscious government would actually close slaughterhouses and brothels and actually outlaw intoxicants. And when in Prabhupada's last year with us, something amazing started happening in India, which Prabhupada said was the direct result of the explosion of book distribution in India. And that was that the different states in India, and then finally Indira Gandhi herself, who was head of the central government, began to outlaw the killing of cows. And this began while Prabhupada's last year. And he attributed this to the spiritual influence of the Sankirtan movement. And he told me she should be congratulated, Indira Gandhi should be congratulated for this closing of cow slaughterhouses.
Okay, very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.